Coming up on the Dr. John Deloney Show.
My best friend is dating this guy. She thinks that they're doing well, but I can tell you that they're not doing very well. He is also my roommate. My husband and I are renting a room to him. I have to be around him all the time.
Why don't you unrent a room from him?
Ta-da! Oh my gosh, this is like my easiest call ever. What's up? This is John with the Dr. John Deloney Show. I think my voice just cracked. Am I going through puberty, Kelly? What in the world?
It's about time.
So glad that y'all are with us. Talking about your mental and emotional health, your marriage, your kids, your dating, whatever's going on. By the way, Kelly, hold on. I'm all over the place today. I just got a tutorial on dating apps. Amazing.
Why?
Well, just because I need to get my learn on, and I was in a meeting, and I was like, I don't really know what you're talking about, so this
woman.
Oh,
that's right, because yesterday when we were in the meeting, we were talking about them, and you and I are both like,
yeah, so Lauren walked me through them, and she just showed me real time, here's what guys say, here's how they introduce themselves. It is wild out on those streets.
Yeah, it's not good.
Yes. I think I'm just going to try to figure it out at my house, because dang, Gina.
Yeah. If that's the option, we're good. Yeah.
Man. So if you want to be on this show where I pretty much I know about 9%, give me a buzz at 1-844-693-3291 or go to johndeloney.com/ask, A-S-K. And thank you to everybody who's been subscribing and all the things. Show spent some time at number one. We fell back to number two. Stinkin' Huberman. That guy. Just amazing. What an amazing guy. But we're continuing to... I'm continuing to be so grateful. So thank you so much for being in our gang. And let's go out to Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and talk to Jenna. Jenna, what's up, Jenna?
Hi, Dr. Deloney. I am a little bit nervous, but thank you so much for taking my call.
I'm super nervous. I don't know anybody from South Dakota. It just sounds cold.
It is yesterday was like 13 degrees as a high, but on Monday it was 64, I want to say, as a high for the day. So we don't know what we're doing up here.
Yeah. That just sounds like pneumonia, USA.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Well, I hope you're surviving. I'm glad that clearly you are surviving. I'm glad that you're doing well. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
All right. So what's up?
Yeah. I will kind of get into a little bit of background, and then I'll phrase my question, and then we can go from there. So
cool.
I guess so. Starting with, so I'm a single woman. I live alone. I have been a men's hairstylist for almost 4 years now, and I decided last 2022 I wasn't happy with my career path, and I decided to go back to school and go finish my nursing degree. And I graduate in May, and I'm super, super excited. And before I went back to school, I had just gotten out of a really, really toxic relationship. And I started working at a salon, and some of the girls were on OnlyFans, and they were telling me about how much extra money they were making. It sounded like a really, really good idea. I was single at the time, and so I went on OnlyFans, and it did not last long. I immediately felt super guilty. I was only on there a couple of weeks, and I deleted it, and I got off of it. But I now have been single for the last 2 years, and I still feel so guilty that I even was tempted to go on there, and that I even thought it was a good idea. And so I guess, how do I navigate that guilt so that I can be a good partner for when I do actually like meet someone and settle down?
Man. There's so much here. You and I could hang out for a while, right?
Right.
Hope this isn't weird, but I just like you. You seem like somebody that I would want to hang out with. Not in a romantic way. I'm an old married man, but I don't meet a lot of self-aware people anymore, especially Kelly. But I don't meet a lot of self-aware people anymore. And a lot of people who are able to say, here's what I want to do. I'm going to make it happen, even when it's hard. And by the way, here's some really stupid things I've done that violated. Here's the deal. At the end of the day, it violated my belief in who I thought I was. And I hate that I did that. And here we are. Like that's a rare combination. So good on you.
Thank you.
Good on you.
Thank you.
Beneath all of it, you feel it, and I think you've probably felt this before, OnlyFans. Tell me if I'm wrong, but you have this like ticker tape running through your life, like under the movie that's your life, the little newsreel at the bottom is that you're unlovable. Where does that come from?
Gosh, I really...
Feel free to tell me, no, you're an idiot. That's not true. here's how I'm putting the dots together here. Number one, listening to you talk about your decision to do OnlyFans and listening to you talk about your job as a barber, which for me is a place that I go to just drop my shoulders and have like real, one of the only places in the world where I have real communication. My barber Daniel is the guy I love, but it's a place where it gives me peace. And to listen to you talk about your lack of, you didn't like that person. And so now you're going to nursing school. And the way you're communicating about, I need to do these things so that one day somebody will be okay with me. That tells me that underneath all of it, you find Jenna unlovable. Where does that story come from?
Never thought of it that way.
Where does that come from?
I've never thought about that, honestly. I come from a two-parent household. Both my parents were great. I still have a great relationship with both my mom and dad. Mm-hmm. I lost my dad 2 years ago to cancer, my dad passed, and then I was working in the salon, and then I decided to go on OnlyFans. So I really, I don't know. I've had a string of crappy boyfriends.
Yeah. Sometimes our parents are amazing and we date somebody and they just, I've talked about this publicly. I've got some things that are lodged in my soul that I even think well-meaning girlfriends over the years have said, and it's just stuck with me in a way that has altered my behavior to such a degree that it will alter how my kids live. You know what I mean? Like your parents can be amazing and you can subtly or very like directly get the message from romantic partners. Like you're not that good at love. We have to work really hard to be in relationship with you. You're kind of less than.
Yeah.
Right. That message can come there too.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe that, if that means anything to you.
It does. Well, and it was funny because my mom knows everything. And
hold on. I'm smiling. How did that conversation go?
Not well. Mostly because it was sprung on her. It was not meant. I never wanted my mom to know about that, but then she did, and she kind of went down a rabbit hole, rightfully so, because she questioned her parenting, and she's like, "I failed you."
Of course.
Which I love my mother something awful, but she definitely went down a rabbit hole, and so that was not a fun conversation, but. We're, you know, we've moved times past, and it's, you know, it's not like she doesn't still love me as her daughter.
Was it your job to sing and dance, to perform for mom, make sure she was okay?
Oh yeah.
Okay. Your mom can be an amazing woman who loves you and you love her, and who also hitched the entire, performance of the household onto your tiny little 12-year-old shoulders. And that was too much.
Yeah.
That was too much.
Yeah.
And when I say you feel unlovable, a better way to say that is you are worth being loved if you're performing up to snuff. And now that story, it's become a part of your nervous system. The story got disrupted because you did something that violated one of your core values. And now you think, oh, I could never perform well enough to achieve that thing I've been trying to achieve my whole life. And that is to have somebody look at me and hold my face and say that they love me and mean it. And I need you to hear me say that's not true. It's not true.
Okay.
So, before we got on the air, we were just talking privately, me and Kelly and the gang back there. And I've got some things that I've done. I have a few things I've said to people over the years, like all the way up to middle school, high school, things I've done that like haunt me. I hate it. I hate that that person has a thought of John Deloney and they remember that. And I guess the good news is I've taken those things and learned from them the best I could. Like I used to be such an insane liar. I lied all the time about everything. I used to steal all the time. I used to like fill in the blank, man. I was just a punk kid. And now I'm almost pathological about telling the truth. Insanely so. I'm so insanely about, about not picking up something that's not mine. Like crazy so. So in many ways, your experience crossing your own boundary will reinforce the fact that Jenna will never do that again. Fair?
Right.
And I'm still haunted by it sometimes. And I think for you, making peace with, I'm pretty awesome. I've accomplished a great thing. I took myself back to nursing school. I knocked it out. I've been buried by the sudden death of my dad. And I'm coming back out of that fog. I've repaired some things with my mom. I'm going to have a great job. I'm going to be around a bunch of smoking hot nurse practitioners. So game on, right? Like all the things, right? All that's true. And you've learned when someone's like, hey, can you go get me an extra prescription of Adderall or Xanax? You'll go, nope. I've crossed my boundaries before. It ain't happening. So that stuff's good. And one day you're going to have to sit down with somebody and you're going to have some significant romantic interest in them. And you're going to say, I spent a few weeks on OnlyFans once. And their eyes will get humongous. Or maybe they'll be like, oh man, was that crazy? Or they may say, I'm out. And that's the risk of any relationship, right?
Right.
What have you learned about yourself in the process?
I learned that I am terrible in front of an internet audience. I was
me
that,
too,
that
Jenna. Me too.
Laugh. I learned that not different opportunities are not always what people make it out to be. Like, for example, because like my coworker brought that to my attention and told me all of her wonderful positive experiences on there, and I genuinely believed her, and I didn't do the research behind it. So I learned that, you know, you kind of got to do some research on some things, and then
There's a ton for those wondering. There's a ton of exaggeration going on in the OnlyFans market.
Yes.
You make all of this. It's not true. Like any industry, there's a few people that make a bunch of money and there's some people that do okay. And then there's a bajillion people who are throwing things up all day long and they make nothing.
Right.
And then the internet has them, right? Forever.
Yeah.
Phew. And hear me say, in no way does that disqualify you from being loved, from being a great mom, from being an amazing wife someday. At all. In fact, I think it can make you highly compassionate towards a young daughter you're going to have someday who thinks that she's got to like perform for you. And you're going to say, nope, not in my house. I believe you and I love you all the time. Is that fair?
Yeah, it is.
Have you written 2021 Jenna a letter? Telling her?
No, I have not.
You need to do that. Because she's up in front of your face every single day asking you, do you forgive me? Do you forgive me? Do you forgive me? And you're trying to ignore her, and she's just going to get louder and louder and louder. Mm-hmm. At some point, you need to write her a letter that says, I forgive you and I still love you. Can you do that?
21 Jenna was, yeah.
21 Jenna was what?
I was going to say 2021 Jenna was just trying to do the right thing and was just trying to get over her the grief of my dad the best I could.
She was in a fog.
Yeah.
And 2024 Jenna is on a war path to go be a nurse and go keep people alive. Is that fair?
Yeah. Yes.
So here's the script moving forward. And I wish it was more complex than this. It's just going to be something you have to practice. And no is going to show up. And I think guilt and sometimes the things we're ashamed about that we've done, I think a lot of the challenge with dealing with that moving forward 5 years, 10 years, 20 years down the road is that we are caught off guard that it still shows up. And it's like when you're driving down the road, if you think every driver is a great driver and somebody cuts you off, it's the end of time. Oh my. But if you're driving downtown in a city and people are cutting you off, you're just calm about it. It's in the radio because that's just how people drive down here. Right. Mm-hmm. So knowing I'm good and I'm worth being loved and I'm going to make somebody really, really happy as a partner one day, I'm going to make myself really happy and I'm going to be a great nurse. And I've done some really hard stuff in my life. And there's going to be random times when you're just going to feel super vulnerable and exposed because there's compromising photos of you floating around somewhere buried in the recesses of the internet, right? And you'll go, ah! Yeah. And then you can exhale and go, that was dumb. But I'm good now. I didn't want to be there. I'm good now. Learned a lesson. I'm good now. Is that fair?
Yeah.
All your body's trying to do is to recall to keep you safe. Remember that time you did this? And so all we're doing in the present and moving forward is letting our body know, yeah, I know, and it will never happen again. And it's not going to happen again. And again, I want you to hear me say this isn't about, you know, you awkwardly like dancing in front of an internet camera. This is about you having a set of operating principles and about how you navigate the world. And in a moment of exhaustion and weakness and grief, you let a coworker talk you into something. They didn't talk you into it. You're a grown up. You did it, but they painted a picture of a situation and you fell for it. You went for it.
Yeah.
All right. So no more. Say out loud, Jenna's a pretty amazing woman.
Jenna's a pretty amazing woman.
And Jenna's worth being loved.
Jenna's worth being loved.
Do you believe that?
Yes.
Awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. I wish you the absolute best. Congratulations. Send us a graduation announcement. I won't buy you anything, but Kelly is known for sending out thousands of dollars to graduates. That's not true at all, actually. Sorry, Kelly. She doesn't have that kind of money. Man, I'm getting off the rails here. And I see how awesome you're staring at me. Kelly, you're beautiful. And Jenna, you're amazing, too. We'll be right back. All right, let's talk about Organifi. Listen, I love Organifi. I love it. Here's how much I love Organifi. In my house, they have a special little basket on my counter full of all my Organifi products. And in my home, kitchen counter space is holy. I think the goal for my kitchen is to make it look like nobody ever uses it, right? But even my wife has made a special place for the Organifi potions and powders. Why? I take Organifi every single day. I travel with it. I take it in the morning for energy and clarity and for my gut health. And I take it in the evening as part of my evening wind down ritual to slow down and relax and get ready for sleep. Red juice, green juice, pure harmony, gold juice. I love Organifi. And this month, Organifi has an incredible offer, free shipping on Green Juice Crisp Apple. And for a few days at the end of the month, you can buy any two pouches and get free Organifi Harmony, which, by the way, is delicious, and I have it almost every single evening. Listen, if it's good enough for me, for my friends, for my family, it's worth you giving it a try. Go to Organifi.com/Deloney.
That's ORGANIFI.com/Deloney, or use promo code Deloney at checkout for 20% off all of the products in the store.
All right, we're back. Let's go out to Boise and talk to Taylor. What's up, Taylor?
Hey, Dr. John. Appreciate you taking my call.
Of course, man. What's up?
So to lay just a really quick context, my wife and I been married for about 5.5 years. We just welcomed our second child into the world about 7 months ago, and we also have a 2.5-year-old.
Hey, can I just stop you right there?
Yeah.
Is your life just mayhem?
Dude.
Let's have another baby. Yeah. It's going to be great.
Yeah, I'm going to be a great dad, and I'm going to be so good at being a husband. And then you go home, and your whole house has been knocked over by a tornado.
Well, it's the go-home part is probably why I'm on the phone with you. So,
okay, bring it.
So I work from home. I'm a software engineer, and I've worked from home since COVID. And so that's what, 3-4 years now. That's had its ups and downs, right? When we just had my oldest, it was okay because I like was able to come out, but if I wasn't able to come out and help, wasn't the end of the world. But now that we have my seven month old, it's really just been like building up. My wife has felt very overwhelmed as she should. Right. But like I'm up with my 7 month old in the morning. I like make breakfast. I get everybody dressed like there since my 7 month old has been born. I did 3 weeks of paternity. And since my 7 month old has been born, I haven't worked more than 5 hours in a single day, and it's starting to show. Right. Like this is the first time ever I've gotten poor performance reviews at work. I'm in a leadership position. Like it's just a lot. Right. And then when I'm off work, my wife, and I can understand where she's coming from. Right. Like my wife wants me to be fully present and take that responsibility off her. And it's just a hard position because I feel like I've been there even while I was in my work day and she was in her work day as well. Right.
Do you hear the language you're using? Y'all are using very unsustainable language. Everything is on and off.
Okay.
I had all of this. Now it's your turn for all of this.
Right.
Right. And imagine if you had a partnership and you and your partner owned a bunch of real estate. He wouldn't be the CEO on Monday through Wednesday, and you're the CEO Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Y'all share that load all the time to differing degrees.
Right.
So anytime somebody feels stuck like this, and it's like we're in a bad pattern, and we're heading down a road that neither of us want to go down, and we can't figure out how to stop it, I always want to, you've heard me say this before on the show, somebody has to stop the dance, turn the lights on, turn the music off, and just say, stop, 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 we have to stop.
Yeah.
Why haven't you walked in and just said, hey, I'm going to start working at one of these WeWork places, or I've got to go to work. I have to leave here and go do my job because I'm being unethical. I'm stealing from my employer.
So we've had conversations kind of around that and where, right. Because this is built tension. Right. And when we have these arguments and when we have these fights, what it's landed on and what we've both decided is for better or for worse. If I was at an office, we feel like we would fight more.
That's not true.
My wife.
It's absolutely not true. Because here's what it's allowing. It's allowing your wife to not deal with the realities of being a stay-at-home mom with two young kids and actually saying out loud, here's what I need. Here's the help I need to make this thing work. And it's forcing you to be dishonest with your employer. So if you weren't there, you had to be at a job 8 to 5, 5 days a week. Y'all would have to come up with some solutions for what's going on in your home.
Right.
Because you're about to be unemployed.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't have a contract at my work that says these are the working hours, right?
That actually makes it worse, dude. It makes it worse. because then it leaves you amorphous. But the workers back in 2020 and 2021, when every worker was like, "I want to work from home," I remember saying, y'all are thinking very short term, because your employer's not going to have a relationship with you, an accidental community. They're not going to see you on the coffee. They're not going to see you smiling because your kid just won in the baseball game, or upset because one of your kids is sick. They're going to miss out on the whole relationship part. And that flexibility goes both ways. And most employees did not think that through. I don't have any set hours. Cool. Well, they don't have any set standards either. It's just meet our standard. And if you don't, you can't work here because I don't have any relationship with you.
Right.
Like, see what I'm saying? So I don't want you to feel like, well, I kind of got this wrapped up. You're telling me I'm just watching things slowly slide.
No, for sure. That is how I feel.
And you're in a tech field. I mean, just look around. There is mass turnover happening because of AI, and people aren't talking about it, but it is changing everything.
Yeah, no. Oh, definitely. Me and my coworkers talk about it every day.
Right. And so if I'm you, I'm putting in 9 hours every day. I'm becoming the most valuable both in my job and in my leadership and relationally that I possibly can.
It just seems so unattainable right now, right? Like, I just don't know how to take that step to do, because that's what I want to do, right? I came from like a background of like workaholic, right? I chased startups. Mm-hmm. And then when we had my oldest, that's not the father I wanted to be, right? You know, I was out 16, 18 hours, like doing stuff, and I enjoyed that, but I also knew that that's not who I wanted to be as a dad.
Sure.
Right.
But there's a happy medium. There's also seasons.
For sure. I just don't know how to take that step and step away. What it feels like is it feels like stepping away from my family, and I'm just at a loss, right?
I just need you to hear me say that's not true. You're not stepping away from your family. You're actually going to provide and protect your family. It sounds like the biggest challenge here is you don't want to take on your wife. Is that true? Or let me say it in a nicer way. That sounded combative. You've got a woman that you love, and you're watching her drown, and there's probably some things you're thinking, why don't you just do this and this? And she won't or isn't. And she hasn't had to because you're cutting 1 hour, 2 hours, 3-4 hours out of your workday, plugging those gaps.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
How come you're scared to take on your wife? Not scared like in a, she's going to hit you, but why the discomfort?
So when we have these conversations, it's, she feels like I'm calling her bad. She feels like I'm calling her a bad mom when I say I need more work time. Right. And I'm terrified of conflict in general. Okay. Right. Like,
you made two humans, dude. So you better get comfortable with it. That's what you signed up for.
My goodness. Yeah. Oh yeah. I'm definitely getting acquainted with conflict, but I don't like making her feel bad. Right. That sounds so childish.
No, it doesn't. But if somebody's with you and every bit of conflict, and there is conflict here, every bit of hard conversation, let me say it like this. So the great Terry Real, one of the greatest therapists I think ever, says that people lead a home sometimes from the one-up position. We're going to do this in our house. Like, this is the way art, right? The idiot way. It's just, it's a flexing, moronic, stupid, big truck way of leading a house. It's dumb. There's also the one down position, which is, hey, I've got to put in a full day's work every day. Otherwise, I'm not being a man of integrity. I'm going to lose my job. Oh, I guess I'm just the worst mom ever then, because I need a little bit of extra help around here. See what I'm saying? That's a way to get everything I want and end every conversation or every disagreement by just throwing a nuclear bomb. Oh, I guess I just suck at this then. You married a terrible wife tonight. And that's bullcrap, dude. You can't move anything forward in that way if someone's going to use that to end and weaponize every bit of marital conflict.
Yeah.
And you're like, I know, dude. Thanks for telling me what I already know. What am I supposed to do about it, right?
Yeah, and she doesn't go quite that far, right? Like she,
I know.
She
I'm over-exaggerating, of course.
No, okay. Right. But I want the paint to paint the picture of, I understand where she's coming from, right? Of she feels like she's drowning because I feel like I'm drowning when I have the kids, right? Like on Saturday, like Sunday in the morning at night, right? And so I get the drowning and I get the feeling inadequate when I need to ask for help. Right. Like I understand all the places of where she's coming from, but like you're saying there, that there is this train coming towards us and I see it and I've seen it for about 3 months now. Right. Like I felt it. It's super uncomfortable. And
so as somebody who loves his wife and loves his kids and wants to stay employed, you have a responsibility to throw the brakes on the train. And I think you have to start the conversation with, I have got childcare for our two kids. You and I have to go away and talk because we got to do something new. We have a brand new marriage. But the way we're moving forward isn't sustainable. And I don't feel like I'm loving you well. I don't feel like I'm loving these kids well. And I don't feel like I'm honoring with my employer what I told them I was going to do. So I have to do something different. Will you come with me? And if you notice my language, all of that was an invitation. None of it was accusational. You're not doing this. You've got to step up. You've got to keep doing it. I'm just putting on the table that I can't keep living like this because I feel like I'm failing in every area.
Yeah.
And now you're starting to get you're starting to get data that yes, your feelings are now correct. You are failing in this area.
Right.
And quite honestly, in the one area that makes all the rest of your life possible, and that's going out and making being a good employee so you can get paid, so you can have a house and food.
Yeah.
And for you, I think there's a toggle between working 5 to 6 hours a day and working 18 to 24. There's also a toggle. Hey, wife, the world changed overnight. There's now a new threat to my business. And so for the next 4 months, I'm going to have to put in some long, wild days. Similar to when I sat down with my wife in June and we said, okay, we got a book coming out. And I said, we on purpose. I wrote it. She didn't even read a draft. I wrote it, but she had to carry the load while I was staying up all night and getting up at 4 a.m. to write. We went through that together. And it was a season of several months. But you have to be able to say that stuff out loud. And here's the other scary part. You have to add into this, wife, I love you, and I can't manage it if every conversation we have ends with you thinking you're the worst wife ever. I'm telling you, you're an amazing wife. I'm telling you, you're an amazing mom. I'm telling you that just my little bit of time with the kids makes me want to set myself on fire. I get it. But I need you to stay with me during these hard conversations as we figure out a plan moving forward. And then the scary thing, brother, she gets to decide what happens next. But do you see how you've put it on the table, laid it out, you've acknowledged, I know where your body's going to feel like going, which is, I'm the worst, this whole thing's the worst. It's not true, but I can't make you not operate from there. I'm asking you to stay with me.
Yeah. How do I validate that I do think that she's a good mom, but I have these needs though, right?
You're assuming that's mutually exclusive. They're not.
I know they're not. I think she thinks that it's mutually exclusive.
You can't control that. I think the best you can do is to put it out on the table.
The three worst words, Dr. John. I can't control that.
I know. But here's what's happening. You're trying to control everything. You're trying to save people off the boat. And you're trying to throw life rafts out. And you're trying to paddle the lifeboat away, and you're not doing any of it very well, and you're going to end up drowning. And the worst part about it is everyone who is relying on you is going to go with you. So you have to open your hands to the things I can't control. You cannot control how your wife responds to you saying, I'm about to get fired. I got to change what I'm doing. You can put it on the table and say, I'm looking you in the eye and telling you, I think you're an amazing mother. And I think you're an amazing wife. And I think we're in a wild season. But you can't control how she chooses to take that information and process it. All you can say is, I can't keep doing this. And my guess is she doesn't want to be doing it either.
Yeah, I don't think she does.
So walk me through. You tell her these things and you sit down at a table. How does that end? Does she start crying and just get up and walk away? Or does she say, this is really scary, I'll stay with you? What do you got?
No. How it goes is we'll have this conversation. We'll both acknowledge that things need to change, and where it ends is her saying, we'll try and do better about leaving you alone during work hours.
Nope.
And
that's on you. That's on you, Taylor. You have to sit down at this thing and have a proposal. I'm going to start going to work. It's not fair for you. It's not fair for those kids. Think of it this way. I would not take a 2-year-old to a funeral, to an open casket funeral. I would take them to a memorial service, but not an open casket funeral. Here's why. That kid can't process the fact that there is a body right there. I see granddad, but granddad's also not there. And in a twisted, similar way, a 2-year-old can't understand that when daddy goes through those doors in this private room, he is no longer with us. He is at work. He is at his office. Daddy's just through those doors. And I'm going to do whatever I have to do, make mom crazy, tump something over, yell and scream a lot. I'm going to do what I got to do because I want to see my dad.
Yeah, that is how life goes.
I know it is. I know. But you're asking a 2-year-old or a 7-month-old to do something that's impossible. And even one step further, your wife knows everything in my life would be easier because that man loves me and he's right there. I'll just stick my head in there real quick. That's a lot of pressure. And so I think you have to sit down and say, I have found a place where I'm going to start going. Maybe it's Monday through Thursday. 8 to 6. I will not be in the home. So what must be true for you to be whole and well? Do we need to get a teenager to come over and help play with the kids? Do we need to get a house cleaner? What do we need to do? Like, let's figure this thing out. Do we need to have a Tuesday, Thursday, Mother's Day out school for just 4 hours just so mom can breathe and go to the store, go to the bathroom by herself without kids going, mom, right? What do you need? Because this is going to be a reality. Otherwise, all of this goes away.
Yeah.
And when somebody says, well, I guess I'll just try harder, that's not a solution at all, ever. It's never a solution.
I agree. It definitely hasn't been working.
It never works. It never works. That is a shame conversation, a shame-induced conversation ender, right? It's just a way to get out of it. Like, I'm going to work harder and I'm going to do better. No, stop. What actions for both of us are going to be different tomorrow morning when we wake up than they are today? I can't control you. What I can control is myself. I'm going to start going to work. And you, Dad, by the way, miss your kids. Miss them like crazy throughout the day. Wish you were home with them. Let that keep you off social media and help you get your work done with excellence so you can come home and be with them. Let that drive you so you can come home and be with them, so you can create a life that you can be more present in. Hate leaving my kids, man. I hate it. And that's the world we got right now. Think of this as a leadership moment, not to tell your family what to do, but to climb up on a ladder, turn all the lights on, and to start coming up with some actual tangible solutions to some of these things. And by the way, sign a 3-month lease at WeWork or whatever these places are. I don't know where they are. Sign a 3-month lease. Give it a shot for 90 days. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. Then we're gonna recalibrate. And she says, well, I just need a house cleaner and I need this. Well, cool. We can't afford a house cleaner. So we can do this and we can do this. Let's try it for 90 days and go from there. And yes, you have a 2-year-old and a 7-month-old. You're going to have some really exhausting Saturday mornings and Sunday mornings and Saturday afternoons. This is the chaos season, brother. I promise there's light on the other side of it. One day, and this is hard to believe, your kids will just go to the bathroom by themselves and you'll feel like you got your whole life back. It's amazing. But that's not right now. Right now, it's just madhouse. So you'll put in all your hours and then you'll come home and you'll help. And you'll put in all your hours and you'll come home and do Saturday morning so mom can sleep in. That is part of your life. But you can't do it all. She can't either. Turn off the music, turn on the lights, brother. Call anytime, man. We'll be right back.
I am super grateful for my Hallow app. I listen to it almost every single day, and I'm not an app guy. If you ever listen to this show, you know I'm not a cell phone guy, but I love Hallow. Hallow is the number one prayer and meditation app in the world. Hallow has 10,000 plus audio guided prayers and meditations, including meditations and prayers and daily psalms, amazing speakers, some of the greatest speakers and celebrities and athletes on the planet, you name it, they are on the app. And there are prayers and meditations for mental health, including meditations to help people who are struggling with addictions, wounds, stress, anxiety, infertility, recovery, grief, and more. There's even an entire section for kids, including Bible stories and meditations to teach kids how to slow down and be present. And this is kids of all ages. I especially love the meditative music. Lo-fi, man. I'm a huge lo-fi fan, and their music is amazing on the Hallow app. I write to it. I read to it. It's incredible. If you're looking to find out what this whole faith thing is about and you don't know where to begin, or if you've been wandering down this faith journey for a long time and you want to go deeper, check out my go-to app, Hallow. And Hallow is taking care of you as a listener of the Dr. John Deloney Show. You get 3 free months of Hallow. That's everything included by going to hallow.com/Deloney. That's 3 free months of the app at Hallow, hallow.com/Deloney. All right, let's go out to Jenny from the block in New York, New York. What's up, Jenny?
Hi.
Hey-o. What's up?
I'm a little starstruck. I read your book, and I just, like, adore your book so much, so I'm a little nervous, but I'm going to stay strong.
Stay strong, Jenny. Stay strong. Thank you. Thank you for saying something nice about my book. That makes my heart feel good. Thank you. All right, so how can I help? So what's up?
I am struggling a little bit right now. My best friend is dating this guy, and they are just like not, she thinks that they're doing well, but I can tell you that they're not doing very well. And the kicker is that he is also my roommate. My husband and I are renting a room to him, so I have to be around him all the time.
Why don't you unrent a room from him? Ta-da! Oh my gosh, this is like my easiest call ever. Why don't you just quit renting him a room?
I know a little bit too much about his financial situation, and it's actually the reason why we decided to rent to him in the first place.
How old is this dude? How old is he?
26.
Are you his mom?
No.
Why is his financial situation your responsibility?
It's not.
Especially when it's infecting your marriage.
Yeah.
And your friendship with your best friend.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I'm so good at this job. I'm just kidding. I wish all the calls were this straightforward. Am I missing something? What am I missing?
So like he works, I don't want to give too much information, but he works close by, and if he like moved back in with his mom or what have you, there wouldn't be a way for him to work at the place where he works now.
Again, that sounds like a really big case of that's his problem.
Yeah. Well, I also don't want to lose my friendship over that. It feels like I have thought about just like giving him like a, hey, you got to be out by August kind of thing.
No, like by next month. Like he's working at a job. Let's like play this out. He's working at a job.
Mm-hmm.
He is a panda. He is an animal that can't mate on its own, can't find food on its own, can't survive on its own. Right? He's working a job that is not sustainable financially.
Right.
In a living arrangement that makes no sense. He's renting a room from a married couple.
Right.
His other option is his mommy, and he's 26. Like, this person's whole life, somebody has bailed him out of his unthought-through decisions. Because, well, I want to work here. Well, that's cool, man. You can't eat.
Right.
Right? And that's not your job.
And the longer you make it your job, here's what's happening. You're slowly growing to resent your best friend. You're slowly, if you're not already there, you don't like coming home to your own house.
Yeah.
And that creates tension between you and your husband. And that will begin to infect your marriage. All because you're propping up some guy's lifestyle. That's so strange. Like, this whole thing is so strange.
I know. I just thought I was being nice, and I think I was a little too nice.
I think you were being conflict avoidant. I don't think this ever was a good idea from the start, and you knew it.
Yeah.
Is that fair?
Yes, that's very true, yeah.
All right, I'm going to ask you something I end up asking like 95% of the people who call. Where did you learn to think so little of your actual needs and wants?
When he moved in, my parents were still living. It's their house. We're buying it from them. And so when he first moved in, it was my parents' house. And I think my parents were thinking like, okay, we're going to be out in a couple weeks and that'll be your guys' problem. And I felt like I didn't really have a say in the matter, I guess.
Have you ever had a say? No, you haven't.
No.
It has to start today. Here's why. How old are you now?
I'm turning 25 next month.
You're going to wake up and be 33 years old and you're going to realize you're living somebody else's life.
Yeah.
You're going to be working for a boss that you can't stand and a job you don't like, married to someone that you are just comfortable with, but you don't even care about because you're doing things. You're going to have a kid that is going to a school. Like, you're just going to end up and you're going to go, what am I doing? Versus saying, I'm 25 years old. I'm going to be a homeowner in New York. I've got a great husband. If my friend is only my friend because I let her leech of an incompetent boyfriend live at our house so he can continue working in a job that can't sustain him, if that's the only way she wants to be my friend, she is not my friend at all.
Yeah.
Not even a little bit. And now I've got to grieve that because she was for a while. But now her parasitic boyfriend has taken more of her heart than I have. Oof, I got to spend some time weeping over that because that's sad.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to lose my marriage over it.
No, never.
You're about to. And I don't mean to say that too strongly, but it's getting dicey. Fair?
Yeah.
All right, so practice with me. How does this conversation go?
Because
it's going to happen this weekend.
Hey, I need to talk to you. You have until April 1st.
That's way too long, but I see where you're going. I like it. I would preface it with, this is a very hard conversation, so I'm going to be very direct. And listen, and say, we can circle back in a few days. We can talk logistics in a few days. I just wanted to put this out there and let you know. We're not even going to talk about it. No, we're going to end the conversation here, but I will circle back in a few days. Because the moment he hears that he's out of his house, he's in fight or flight. There's no listening. There's no learning. There's no discussing. It is just war.
Right.
Okay. And you have proven to yourself over time that when confronted with that type of war, you lose. Right?
Yeah.
Or you concede. So I'm not going to engage. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to have a 3-point contest with Steph Curry. He'll beat me every time. I got to figure out something else because I'm not doing that. And so I have a short, hard conversation to have with you. I need my house back with my husband. I'm going to ask you to move out by March 15th. And I know it's hard. I know it's frustrating. But by March 15th, I need you out. And we'll circle back in a couple of days. We can talk logistics. Peace out.
Okay.
I'm not going to fight you. I'm not going to yell with you. I mean, whatever. And if he crosses lines and say, then we're going to move out right now because I'm not going to have you harassing us or whatever. Is he unstable or he will respond frustrated, but like an adult?
He'll respond respectfully and then probably cuss me out over the phone to someone else. But who wouldn't, right?
You know who wouldn't? Well, I guess people... People who don't find themselves in this situation.
Yeah.
Right. It's just a whole ecosystem. So, yeah. I want you to spend some time privately thinking, write this stuff down in a journal. What do I want my home to feel like when I get home from work? What do I want my home to feel like when me and my husband see each other at the end of a long day for the first time? What do I want my home to feel like when we wake up? And then begin to ask, what must be true? Do the paint colors need to change? Do I need to get a new job? Do we need to stop using these disgusting towels? Do we need to get all the roommates out? Like, what must be true? But right now, you're living somebody else's life, and it's time to stop. Because that train will end. If you stop it soon enough and you begin to transform it, then you take ownership. If not, it crashes and you're forced to take ownership because everything you love and everything you're part of is ash. So let's just take the train. I don't know. How do you drive a train? Let's just take the wheel of your own car and start driving. It's your life. It's you and your husband. You're all doing this thing together. And my guess is when you tell your husband, I'm going to have a hard conversation today, but I'm going to let him know he's got to be up March 15th. Your husband may go running into the street screaming, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Maybe a whole bunch of hallelujahs. Is there a hallelujah song you could sing, Kelly?
No, no one wants to hear that. There would be no rejoicing.
It would be, man. Jenny, take back your life. Take back your life. All right, we come back. We'll have a Am I the Problem? Stay with us. Hey, what's up? Deloney here. Listen, you and me and everybody else on the planet has felt anxious or burned out or chronically stressed at some point. In my new book, Building a Non-Anxious Life, you'll learn the 6 daily choices that you can make to get rid of your anxious feelings and be able to better respond to whatever life throws at you so you can build a more peaceful, non-anxious life. Get your copy today at johndeloney.com. All right, we're back. So am I the problem? What's up, Kelly?
All right. So this is anonymous. I don't know who this one's from.
Let's just throw a name out there. Let's go with Joe.
Or Jill, because it's from a woman.
Or Jill.
Okay.
My daughter goes by Joe, but I won't take that as an insult. Go ahead.
That's true. You're right. My bad. All right. My husband and I follow the Ramsey plan and have combined bank accounts. My husband will make quote-unquote jokes such as, what's ours is yours and what's mine is yours. When I tell him that's hurtful and he hurts my feelings when he says stuff like that, he replies with, well, apparently I can't joke with you since you don't know how to take a joke.
Oh, man.
This also happens when he makes other jokes such as cultural jokes, etc., which I feel are derogatory to different races or genders. Am I the problem?
No, your husband's an immature moron. Ta-da. Now, man, this could send me down a rabbit hole. I have friends of different genders, different races, different all kinds of anything you can imagine. Some of my closest friends. And if out of context, if you heard us talking and joking with each other, it might be like people couldn't breathe. Those are my brothers and sisters and friends. But somebody who just enters into a room mocking other people because they're so insecure to enter that room on their own ends up just drowning people. So this isn't about like, oh, you can't even say jokes anymore. No, this is who that dude is. Just can't. Yeah, no, you're not the problem. It's frustrating. It's frustrating because you're with a very immature person, but you're not the problem. You agree?
100%.
Really?
Yep.
We never agree 100%.
Sometimes we do.
Well, I am 100% in agreement. I'm glad you're around, Kelly. You make my heart feel big. Even though you got palm trees on your shirt. That's very emo Hawaiian. Is that a thing?
No, but I think we should make it a thing.
I think it's a thing now. My Chemical Romance on the beach. Love you guys. Bye.